You're listening to Discovering Multifamily, where we discuss all educational topics in commercial real estate with an emphasis on multifamily apartment investing via syndication. And now, your hosts, former NFL fullback Brian Leonard and Anthony Scandariato.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Discovering Multifamily podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Scandariato with Red Knight Properties. And today, we've got a pretty well-known figure joining us today, Marco Santarelli. I say that right, Marco, from an Italian to Italian?
Spot on. Perfect.
All right. That's what I thought. That's usually what happens. But for those of you who don't know Marco, he is a real estate investor himself. He's an author, and he's the founder of Norada Real Estate. And Norada is a nationwide provider of turnkey cash flow investment properties. And Marco's also the creator of Deal Grader, and has his own podcast as well, Passive Real Estate Investing. And you can visit PassiveRealEstateInvesting.com to check out all his good work, and NoradaRealEstate.com. And really want to welcome Marco on this show. And we really want to learn, what is a turnkey real estate investment? Because most of my audience is used to listening to multifamily real estate syndications, which is a whole topic in itself. But turnkey is a little bit different. So can you kind of talk about your business? I really am curious.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Anthony. I really appreciate it. I love talking about investing and financial freedom. So anywhere where I can help people understand and educate them is an opportunity for me. So, the term turnkey is really not a formal industry definition. People kick it around, especially lately, the last 5 to 10 years, as if it's commonly understood, but it's not. And people have different definitions of what it means. Generally speaking, turnkey investment property is something that is not a distressed asset that doesn't require work. You can walk in, purchase it, and it's already cash flow positive. That doesn't necessarily mean it's in perfect condition and it has no deferred maintenance. The reality is that something I would call cash flow positive, but is just an income producing asset, I call that a rent ready property or rent ready asset. And it doesn't matter whether it's single family home, duplex, fourplex, or an apartment complex. Rent ready is rent ready. But a turnkey investment, from our perspective, my perspective, is how we've defined an investment being a property, any kind of property, but a property in a good market. We can talk about that if you want. Good market, good neighborhood, in new or like new condition. It is tenant occupied, cash flow positive, professionally managed by full service management. And I think I'm missing one more point on that, but essentially that is what I'll define as a turnkey investment. So you are basically investing either in a syndication with you or in a single family duplex, fourplex through us, in an investment, a property that you put into your portfolio that requires no active management, no active maintenance, and has no deferred maintenance. That is truly turnkey. And I'll just make one more comment about that, Anthony. What I just described is the turnkey investment itself. You can step back and take a look at this a little bit more macro, if you will, and call it a turnkey real estate investing experience. So when you take that product of a turnkey real estate investment and you wrap an experience around it where you have all the resources, all the knowledge, all the service providers that you need to invest in those turnkey properties. Now you have what I call turnkey real estate investing as more of a process or an experience. And that's really how I started the business 15, 16 years ago, is because people wanted that experience, were coming to me for help. I didn't have the time to help them, but I said, hey, I see a lot of deal flow. I can provide you with what I just described to you because I can't mentor or coach you. So that's really how the business was born, just out of that whole necessity from other people saying, hey, I want to do that too.
That's awesome. So in terms of the asset class, so you mentioned single family, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes is what your company focuses on. Do you have, for these turnkey properties, it depends upon, you're in Southern California, I'm in Northern New Jersey. The per unit prices are pretty high to begin with. I'm just trying to understand what markets do you concentrate on? Is there a certain per unit level you like to be at in order for it to make sense in cash flow? Because, you know, some of these per units in New Jersey can go, and I'm sure in California too, could go 200,000 to 300,000 even for 50-year-old product, and the rent will only be, you know, $2,000 on a $300,000 home. And that's not going to cash flow, most likely. And the taxes will probably be 2% of the, you know, the value. So where do you see the most opportunity in that space?
One more. So that's a great question. And here's why. One of our philosophies, and it's actually my fifth rule of my 10 rules of successful real estate investing, is to be market agnostic. You should never be married to a specific market. And a lot of people are tricked or fooled into believing that you have to invest within a 1 or 2 mile radius of or a 1 or 2 hour drive of where you live to invest in real estate. Well, that's actually misguided and bad advice, because for many of us, especially here in coastal California, where you live, and many markets around the country that are either expensive or unaffordable, the numbers don't actually work well. So if you're trying to invest in a market that is overpriced or expensive, unaffordable, the numbers are not going to pan out for you. And what you just described as a $200,000 or $300,000 property is really cheap from where I live. You're lucky to get into a single family home, like just a plain vanilla 3-bedroom home, for less than $500,000 to $600,000 where I live. You're probably looking at $800,000 plus. So the secret, if you will, and it's not a secret, is to just pick the best markets that make the most sense fundamentally and economically. Now, look at the United States. It's made up of over 400 metropolitan statistical areas. So when you have 405 that I track, 405 MSAs, and you realize that some of them are overpriced and don't make sense, and some of them are very ripe for investors to come in and get good cap rates, good cash on cash returns, and good appreciation potential, why would you not be focused on those markets? So that's really the secret, is to just become market agnostic, step back and just say, look, I've got money, I've got capital to invest. I want it to work as hard as possible for me as an investor. Where should I be looking? Well, you take a top-down approach. It's a funnel approach. You start with the markets that make the most sense. And then, provided the numbers work and the inventory is there in that market, and you can assemble a team for yourself, and you can shortcut all these things, by the way, that's a separate question if you want to talk about it. But if you can get into a market, you've got the inventory and the team, and you can generate income, then those are the markets you should be focused on. Now, you asked me a specific question, maybe share some examples. I'll give you a few of them. We're in about 25 markets roughly right now, mostly the Midwest, the South, Southeast, pockets of the Northeast. That's just where in the country the numbers pan out, where you can get cash flow and cap rates. So, for example, the outer rim, the greater Chicago metro area, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Missouri, Memphis, Tennessee, Houston, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Southwest Florida. If you can find it, parts of Atlanta, Georgia. That's a very large metro. So when I say Atlanta, I'm not talking about the city, but you know, the suburbs, the submarkets. Those are some of the markets that we're in that we have a lot of product. York, Pennsylvania is one of our newer markets, and it's been extremely popular just because the numbers are just so good and the market is so fundamentally strong. But look, if you're in the New Jersey, Southern California, and you're looking at a $500,000 property, it probably only rents for $2,500 a month, maybe $3,000 a month. You know, that's what we call a 0.5% rent to value ratio, very low. That's not going to work.
Is there a ratio that you look at in order for it to be turnkey?
Yeah. So this formula, some of your listeners may know about this. It's called a rent to RV ratio is what we call it. Rent to value ratio, or more simply a rent to price ratio. And all it means is that you take the monthly rent, let's call it $1,000 a month. You divide that into the market value or purchase price. And let's call that $100,000. So $1,000 a month divided into $100,000 property gives you 1%. That's your target. That's your ideal number. If you can get a 1% RV ratio, It's a quick litmus test, but it gives you a lot right up front to tell you, yeah, continue your due diligence, continue doing your research, because that property will probably make sense for you. Of course, you have to do more of a deep dive analysis and due diligence, but more often than not, if it's in a good market and a good neighborhood, that's probably a good deal. So what's not good is when you're in California, New Jersey, or places that are expensive and overpriced, and you have these RV ratios that are 0.4, 0.5, 0.6%. Those numbers, if you're getting those numbers, you could do better elsewhere almost all the time. My break point is about 0.7%. And the reason I say that's my break point is because if I'm going to give up on the front end cash flow and I'm going to give up on the front end cash on cash return, I want to make up for it on the potential appreciation of that market. So I'll give up on the front end, the immediate cash flow or cash return, but I'm going to make up for it on the appreciation growth over the next 2, 3, possibly 5 years. The further out you go, the harder it is to predict. But we have gotten pretty good at predicting the next 2 to maybe 3 years in a market.
That's awesome. So could you kind of talk about the management component? Do you have a management team in-house? How do you manage these turnkey rentals? And I could imagine if you're buying them newer product, already rented, there's not that much that goes into it except collecting rents and evictions and, you know, maintenance every once in a while. Are you also participating in any of the rehabs at all, or are you just strictly the turnkey cash flowing day one properties?
So anything that our clients are purchasing through us are completely turnkey. There's no required maintenance or deferred maintenance or CapEx expenses required. You're just building your portfolio one or two properties at a time, increasing your cash flow, increasing your portfolio size, increasing your, you know, equity growth across that portfolio. But to your question about management, and you know this as well as I do, property management is critically important. It's one of your most important team players on your team that you surround yourself with. And I jokingly say you live and die by your property manager. It is one of the most important pieces of your success in real estate investing. So everything that we offer comes plugged in already with a full service property management company. It's not an individual. It's from soup to nuts. It's being managed. Your assets are being managed. It's not just about collecting rent. It's about properly screening and qualifying tenants, placing the tenants, having quick turnovers, quick response and communication, good reporting, collection of rents and passing those rents to you as the owner. Those are all important, regardless of whether it's a 400 unit apartment building, a single family home, a fourplex, or whatever it may be. Management is critically important, and it's also a local business, a local job or service provider. It can be done remotely and from a distance. I know a lot of investors actually do that, but it's the minority. And they're also probably in real estate full-time, and they're not there at the property, but they're working with their boots on the ground to be their arms, ears, eyes, feet for them. But if you don't have that, look, 7%, 8%, even 10% a month of collected rent for the services of a management company, to me is well worth it. I'd rather focus on doing more deals and having my properties all managed by professional management, and knowing that that's a built-in expense. I've already factored that in. You know, it's not an extra cost. It's just a cost of doing business.
Sure. So we talked about markets before, and now we're talking about management. So do you have go-to management companies in every single state, essentially, in the U.S. that you're looking to invest in?
Yeah, so there's about 10 people or so that make up your team as a real estate investor. But for you to be very successful, you want 5 core people on your team. You want your acquisitions people, which are, you know, your real estate agents and brokers, your wholesalers, your turnkey property providers, such as our company at Norada here. So your acquisitions person is your first team player. Your second is what we just talked about, critically important, is your property management company. The third group of people, if you will, are your lenders. So your mortgage brokers, mortgage lenders, loan officers, banks and institutions that provide you financing to do your deals. The fourth team member that you surround yourself with are it's not necessarily more than one. It's your asset protection attorney. It's any attorneys, but your asset protection attorney. And if you need one, a real estate or business attorney. And then the first fifth person is also critically important, is your tax advisor, the right tax advisor. Those five people are your core five. And so the property manager specifically is the one person on your team that is going to be local, boots on the ground in each market that you have property in. But all five of those people are people that we work with, we vetted in all markets that are tied into the properties that clients or investors are purchasing through us. And so they come with the property. There's no cost for that. You know, we vet them, we work with them, we have years of history with them. We're happy to recommend them. But you don't need to go and search for them. So they're just another resource that we pass along.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And in terms of how many deals did you do last year? Like, I'm just curious, your deal flow, like how many houses are you able to handle in a given year?
Well, our business model, I built this business model 16 years ago in a way that it could scale. And it's very scalable today because we have all the right people in the right, we have all the right people in the right seats on the bus, if you will, use that analogy. So we're currently doing between four and 500 properties per year.
Wow.
So that's more than one a day, right?
Yeah. But
our clients, you know, clients that work with us will typically purchase anywhere from 3 to 7 per year. And it really comes down to two things, their cash and their credit. You know, the two C's, cash and credit, really is the only bottleneck or choke point for someone to build their real estate portfolio. So I forgot your question. Volume. You know, we could double that volume. The choke point, if you will, in this is that in this country right now, we are still, for the most part, at least in the markets we operate in, what I'll call tier two markets, it's the amount of inventory available. It's still a seller's market in a lot of the markets, and that means there's more demand than there is supply. And that creates a bit of a problem if you're on the buy side as an investor looking for good quality inventory. Fortunately, we have the right teams and enough people to keep providing us that inventory, that turnkey inventory, to keep, you know, up with the investors that are coming to us looking for help and resources and property. But that really is the critical factor is inventory. See, the problem in real estate is, and I've said this a long time ago, we're never in equilibrium. It's like the pendulum of a clock. It's swinging one way or another. We're either in a buyer's market or seller's market. We rarely are stopped dead center in a point of equilibrium. I mean, it's rare, it happens, but it doesn't happen often. So these dynamics are in flux. And when you're in a seller's market, it's great on the sales side, but it's tougher as an investor on the buy side. And I don't know what you're finding, with what you're doing with your apartments and syndications, but I would imagine you're probably seeing a lack of good deal flow. Are you?
It's starting to come back again.
Is it really? Okay, interesting.
It's starting. It's a little bit slow. I was going to ask you the same question. How has it been for you? Have you seen prices change? We're recording this at the end of May into early June, so this is towards hopefully the tail end of the coronavirus. So, what have you been seeing?
Well, I've been seeing two things, Anthony. In the tier, the larger, higher end tier one markets, like the San Franciscos of the world, like the big markets, we have seen the sales pace slow down, and we've also seen we are seeing prices slow down, taper off, or even decline, like parts of San Francisco. There's a lot of markets actually around the country that have had huge run-ups and are also on the high end of the price spectrum pull back. So we're seeing, you know, flat or depreciating markets. But in the second tier and tertiary markets, the much smaller markets, demand is still strong. And as long as the fundamentals are there, we're seeing prices go up. So they're still appreciating. So prices have not come down. Prices have still been consistent. You know, they're still appreciating either at the rate of inflation or in tight markets, the smaller and tight markets, we're seeing prices still increasing at very healthy single digit numbers, sometimes double digit, but certainly, you know, above 5%.
Very interesting. And forgive me if I've already asked this, but so the turnkey properties that you offer, what price size range are they generally in that you're offering to your investors per deal?
Neither one of us are losing our mind. You did not ask that question.
Okay, yeah.
That's actually a very good question because it helps put things in perspective, especially if you live in an expensive market, you know, New Jersey, where you live. The range of property, single family homes that investors are purchasing, not just through us, but in general, are typically around 70 to 80,000 on the low end to about 180,000 on the high end. And again, this is very market specific because a three bedroom home that you find in, let's say, Birmingham, Alabama, that exact same house in Dallas, Texas is going to be a considerably different price. You may be in the similar type of neighborhood, but a completely different market. So 80 to 180,000 is the range. The median and average fall around 120,000. To go back to our formula of the rent to value ratio, the rental price, the monthly rent on that $120,000 home is going to be $1,100 to $1,200 a month. So it's close to or right on that 1% RV ratio. So that's typical for single family home. The duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes that we have available are rarely, if ever, existing home inventory. That is very hard to find in this country. That means it's always new construction. These are new builds because we're serving the deficit, the demand of housing that we need in this country that's not available. We're actually behind about 1.5 million housing units right now in the U.S., and that's a huge shortage. So how do you make it up? You have to build up. You have to build apartments, condos, or you know, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, because we're not keeping up with single family homes.
Sure. And even on the apartment side, it's a very similar supply and demand disconnect. If you just look at the statistics, National Housing Association, I think it was we needed to build 350,000 new apartment communities like a year just to keep up with demand by 2030.
Right.
And that's for the workforce, you know, class B, C sort of product. So I'm seeing it as well on the multifamily side. It's very interesting to hear on the 1-4 side as well. That's really, really fascinating stuff, Marco. So if we could kind of wrap it down just a little bit now. So what I like to do at the end of each episode is, ask everybody a couple of questions, which the first one would be, you know, favorite real estate book or business book to help you get to where you are today.
That helped me specifically or just my favorites?
Or your favorites, yeah, whatever.
Well, it's hard to answer that question with just one book because there are a lot of books that were kind of pivotal. You know, the foundational book that so many people kind of reference is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just because it helps set the mindset. And it also introduces some very basic principles that allow you to think about investing properly, like, you know, what is an asset and what, you know, why is cash flow important? Why should I focus on cash flow? So, you know, that would certainly be a foundational book. A more advanced book that is still kind of wide and not very deep is The Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller. It's a blue book, you know, available on Amazon, everywhere else. You know, that's a very good foundational book, but it goes a lot deeper. Those are great books for anybody starting out. You know, I would start there.
Awesome. And any mentors for you?
Oh yeah. Well, mentors over the years. I mean, you want a real estate mentor or?
Any mentor, any business mentor, or any kind of role model that, you know, you look up to or has an investment philosophy that's similar to yours?
Well, my investment philosophy and my company's investment philosophy is very much aligned with Robert Kiyosaki's. So pretty much everything Robert Kiyosaki talks about is the same stuff that we talk about and follow and believe in. And that, you know, we, you know, rebuild and repurpose and build, stack on top of that and pass that on. So, you know, very much in line with Kiyosaki's stuff. He's probably one of my biggest, from a business perspective and a personal development perspective, guys like, you know, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn have been, you know, certainly, you know, mentors of mine and role models.
Awesome. And so what are your hobbies outside of all this? do you have time for hobbies? Well, that's why I was laughing, because
there's a lot of things I love, but I don't make the time for, because I just don't have the time for it. I mean, so of course, you know, real estate and investing and looking at deals and buying property. I mean, that's all fun stuff. Even though it's investing in finance, it's, to me, it feels like a hobby. I enjoy reading and learning and listening to podcasts and doing my own podcast and all that kind of stuff. So that's fun. I like going to Disneyland. I like to travel, you know, traveling is fun and it's a big part of, you know, what my family does. I don't know. That's about it. I mean, a simple life, my friend.
That's a simple life's better, right? Better off that way.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, Marco, how can people find you?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I appreciate it. Well, we have two websites. Really, anything and everything you want is there, whether it's a free download, contact information, whatever, downloadable guides. NORADA, realestate.com, N-O-R-A-D-A, NORADA, realestate.com is the mothership. It's our core website where we have properties and resources. And then the sister website, which is really the home of my podcast, is called passiverealestateinvesting.com. And, you know, the podcast is the same name, Passive Real Estate Investing. So those are the two places you can find me.
Awesome. Well, we're going to have links to all the things Marco just described in the comments section of our social media, and also in the iTunes description as well. So you can reach out to Marco at any time. Marco, love to have you back on the show and see if, you're able to double the unit count size and towards the end of 2020 for next year. Yeah, the progress is going. I think is
going to be awesome. Yeah. I appreciate it. And I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much. I hope your audience has gotten a little bit out of this.
I hope so too. Thanks for coming on, Marco.
Thank you, Anthony.
Appreciate it.